Good morning. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acra. This is Now Boarding with Jim and Dan. And today is a special day. We are, I believe, on our third day of the I Love WGXC Radio Pledge Drive. Radio Love Pledge Drive. So it's biannual where we have these drives, and it's what allows us to continue to be on air for this station. If you are listening this hour to Now Boarding and you have a few dollars that you would like to contribute, please call in 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or go to wgxc.org/donate. And today, for Now Boarding Program, the travel show, we are awaiting a call from my co-host, Jimmy Jiminovich, who is once again in Singapore. Last time he was stateside here, live in the studio, and he is currently at a J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez concert in Singapore, where it might take all of his time. He hasn't called in yet, but fortunately, we are joined by a much lovelier person, who is Danae. And she will be contributing to this program this hour about her travels. So we got a lot in store today, and I'm eager to hear about travels to South America as well as across the United States. Danae, hello.
Hello. Hello, Hudson.
Well, thank you. If you haven't contributed your money yet, you can do so this hour as well, Danae.
I was waiting for the show, actually, so I will donate during this hour.
Okay, great. So. Now, you've done some interesting travels yourself, and I have been wanting to have you on this station and this program for a while. Reluctantly, you have always been, and now, after about probably a year and a half, you've agreed to come on.
You forced me on.
Right.
So here I am.
I'm an oppressor. Anyway, so I'd like to know about your time. I believe you spent a year of your life in South America.
I did. Is this volume okay? First time on the radio? Okay. I graduated from Chatham High, and I traveled down to Chile. And I lived in Temuco for a year. And, yeah, it was a great time. I was 19. Well, I was 18 when I traveled down there and got there in their winter, turn into summer, and it was quite the adventure.
Great, yeah. Great. That must have been pretty courageous of you, just graduating high school, and here you are, a bright student. I won't go further into that, but really an excellent student, and you take a different path. That must have been, you must have felt quite nerved and nervous, and or weren't you?
Were you? No, it was the easy way out. I wasn't ready for college, and I wanted to give my mother a heart attack, so I told her I wasn't going to college.
Okay, well.
I was traveling, so I worked the summer before I left and supported myself for a year down there.
And good to know your mother did not have a heart attack, and she is alive and well.
She came to visit, so I think I put the I put the passion of travel in her as well. So
great. Yeah. Nice. Temuco is where you were. Now, I have never heard of Temuco. Is that near the capital, Santiago? Is it on the coast? Or isn't all of Chile about 2 feet away from the Pacific Ocean?
So I only went to the coast once when I was there. Temuco is about a 10-hour bus ride down from Santiago, and it's the overnight bus. It's the best bus system I've ever been on traveling.
Really?
They serve you food, coffee, and not a lot of stops. So it was easy enough to travel around the country on bus and public transportation. I did have a truck. I learned standard down there on a truck that the keys, you could take the keys out of the ignition and it would still run. It was a good time, easy to travel without too much resources.
Now, you were staying with a family? You were connected with a family down there, or were you living out of your suitcase? What was your living situation? And
I was fortunate enough to have a family. My sister was down there with her family, and that was my excuse to go down. And then from there, I took some language courses, and I started traveling on my own. So
you were living with your sister?
I was living with another family
that
she connected me to.
You did not want to live with your sister, or it was just...
My sister had three children. No, I did not want to live with my sister.
Okay, easy enough. So, you go when you're 18 years old down to Chile and really just step out into the broad, broad platform of adventure there. What did you really want to get from it?
I wasn't sure. I was told I was going to have culture shock when I got there, but everyone's very warm and welcoming, so I was comfortable, and I made friends very easily down there, even though I didn't know the language very well. So I wanted to see a different part of the world, so that's what I did. And a lot of rock climbing, rafting, mountaineering, and that was the place to go. So
okay. And was it completely eye-opening? You say you didn't have any culture shock, but it's the developing world, is it not? And if that be the case, weren't there some conditions that were completely different from your time growing up in America compared to the socioeconomic that you would see in Chile, with some towns and some rural places especially being less developed than here?
So Santiago is very developed, and you feel like you're in a small city in the States when you go there. But as you go south down to Chiloé, I was able to spend 2 weeks on the islands down there with native families, and they cooked for me, and I found their food extremely difficult to eat, but I was able to stomach it. And I think as you're in a different country, you're more willing to experience the hardships that you normally wouldn't put yourself through if you were in the States. So
okay. And what was this food? How was it different than, say, Spanish that we are accustomed to in our diet in the U.S.?
So the one memory that stands out is I had a bowl of soup around a table with about 20 Chileans, and I bit into the potato, and there was a piece of metal in the middle of my potato, and it was a bullet from the ground. So I politely just put it in my hand and held it throughout dinner. And in that bowl of soup, there also was pork, which I am not a big fan of. But I was able to handle the taste of the pork, except that they didn't skin the pig. I'm not quite sure about the process, but you had pig hair poking your tongue on every bite. So that was just something you would never put yourself through in the States or a developed world. But
you had pig hair.
There was hair in the meat, and it was extremely coarse.
So, did the bullet have any flavor?
It broke a little piece of my tooth off. So, that is a lasting memory.
Well, that's great.
Yes.
From all my travels, I've been fortunate enough never to have eaten to bite the bullet, so to speak, as you did.
I really
seems like
don't
quite the adventure.
Think you could have swallowed that, yeah. Like I said, you are in, you know, different circumstances, so.
Okay. Now, Chile had gone through a very difficult period of time from early 70s to really the late 80s.
You know this history, huh?
I vaguely know the history.
Okay.
I am a slight student of world history. But, so, the Chilean government from the early 70s to around 1990 was a dictatorship by the man of Pinochet?
Pinochet, correct.
Now, were there still some influences from that when you were there back in 2004, 2005? Did you feel anything? Did the family that you were with, did they explain anything? I mean, this was a very difficult period of time.
I knew several families that had relatives that had disappeared during that time, and wow. They still, to this day, don't know where they went. But
really?
Other than that, I didn't speak politics very much. Mm-hmm. My Spanish was limited, and I was 19 and had other concerns.
Wow, that's...
But it was a big impact to the country, and...
Now, can you go further into that historically? Can you give a...
No, I can't. It seems that you know the history more than me.
Not exactly, but I believe they would handpick either political dissidents, those who were politically active, or I'm not sure. Is that why they had disappeared?
They worked for the state or the government, and I do not know their relations, though, that had caused them to be persecuted.
Okay.
So I cannot speak mm-hmm. too much about this topic.
All right. Well, moving on to a happier subject in terms of Chile, why don't you explain or mention your three greatest memories, your funnest times, or that which evoked the best feelings while you were a year in Chile?
The best three. Man, if it was Jimmy, what would it would be? Bar one, bar two, and bar three?
You know,
or,
yeah. And we're still awaiting word from Jimmy, who was, as Tommy had mentioned, at the end of the hour, transitioning into our program. Jimmy is currently at a J-Lo concert in Singapore, and... He called in about 5 minutes ago, and I could just hear complete concert noise in the background. And Jimmy had said, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I'll be able to get a moment's break from this concert. So, yeah, there he is.
Can't break himself away.
No. Anyway, he's having a great time, and we wish the best for Jimmy at the concert. I think he also attended a Formula One race, and then it was followed by this concert, and it's just Jimmy continuing living the life while we are here breaking our backs, and we're trying to make a little money, and the station is trying to make a little money. So let's return to there, and then we'll hear Danae's three best moments or memories of Chile. So once again, we are having our biannual pledge drive, this being the fall pledge drive, Radio Love pledge drive to WGXC. It's one of the two pledge drives which we have every year, which allows this station to make it through and ultimately allows all of these great programs that you hear on this station to exist. So please, if you are listening and you would like to have this station continue, go to wgxc.org/donate and make a generous contribution if you can.
Now, Dan, are you guys doing any incentives, you and Jimmy, for this one? I know last time Jimmy offered to go, was it naked or just shirtless through the park?
Yeah, Jimmy had offered that, and, you know, I think a couple people actually wanted to see him do that. And I think they might have actually, you know, made that pledge to get that done. But Jimmy backed out. So it's unbelievable, really.
And then now he's a no-show for today.
Yeah, yeah.
He's afraid of what he'll promise this time around.
Yeah, maybe you can get a video of Jimmy like that and at the concert right now in Singapore. But as you ask, incentives... Really, there's no particular incentive that I have.
You're
right now.
You're a little consumed with work at the moment. You're not going to do any painting.
I'm personally consumed at the moment, but hey, I think many people are, and you know, I think the incentive is just hearing these great programs on this station. We have a wonderful diversity of voices, and if you just listen to one program or you listen to many programs, you can really hear it. A very rich, rich diversity here, and many, many great voices. The talent is very unique, and people coming from many different backgrounds.
Now, what's your other show that you listen to, or you listen to all of them here on?
I don't have the opportunity to listen to all of them, but I do catch many of them from time to time. I do love when Sam Sebrin is on, and he has Nothing Is Real show, and I listen to that from time to time. Nice. I listen to the Irish show. I believe it's Sunday nights.
And yes, I've caught that while driving.
Yep.
Several that's, times.
That's very good. And sometimes the, I think it's mid-afternoon, some of the Spanish show. And listen to that from time to time. And I catch the tail end of Tommy's show. And that's very good. So,
right.
Yeah. So yeah, if you if you like WGXC, if you love WGXC, as that's what our motto is, this pledge drive, Radio Love pledge drive. As I said, go to wgxc.org/donate, whatever you can. It's tax deductible. You can write it off on your taxes come springtime, and you can also donate by phone at 518-697-7400. So if you have the ability, if you have some money available, please allow us to continue our voice here at WGXC. We're going on about 3 years running.
Wow.
So it's been filled with many great moments, and man, I mean, what a great way to have a artistic platform, really, you know?
It's great for the community.
It's great for the community.
Yes.
And here we are. I mean, I would never think that I could have a show, but,
I was shocked when I heard that they let you on.
Yeah.
Once I met Jimmy.
Right, right. Exactly. And we are still awaiting his call. But anyway, let's return to travel with our special and lovely guest, Danae, and she is talking about her time in Chile. She will talk about her time going to Alaska and going to many trips to Colorado, in fact, later on. But let's get back to your three best moments in Chile.
Well, I enjoyed, let's see, the mountains. There were not a lot of skiing, which I enjoy doing, but sledding was a big thing that they did. So they would take plastic bags, whatever they could find, lunch trays, and we would drive up to the mountains and go sledding, which was lots of fun. With the views of all the volcanoes around and the diversity of terrain as you drove up to the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good memory of Chile. If anyone gets to travel to Chile, go down to Puerto Montt and Puerto Varas and Osorno. It's a beautiful lake. The food is very good. I like my sweets. So the torta was always a good treat. And
now,
gelato.
Torta in Spanish translates as cake, right?
Yes.
But torta is a unique cake in Chile?
It could be different. So there's a German influence in Chile, and they have, what did they call it? Kuchen?
Kuchen.
I believe was the cake of the Germans that was... extreme. You would have enjoyed because there was a lot of fruit and tartness to it.
Okay. Okay. Now, is the German influence more regional in Chile, or is it widespread?
I believe it is more regional to the south,
mm-hmm.
but I went up to La Serena, and it was a different influence, more European to the north as well.
Okay. More Italian and Spanish and...
Yes, but that also was an influence in Bariloche, mm-hmm. where I went in Argentina. That is very European and Italian influence.
Okay.
Which I believe you've been to Argentina.
I've only been to Buenos Aires, and that isn't necessarily...
And you would return.
To Buenos Aires, I don't have a complete draw to it from about the only two days that I spent there. It was completely hot, humid. I felt dirty, but I think that was more so my own hygiene, not completely because of the city itself. You know how it is when you're traveling and you're young and you're on a budget, and the budget forces you to go to places to sleep where you rather would not, otherwise would not.
I have done that.
Right. And there was one such place. It was a hostel. I think it was called the Evita or something like that. And yeah.
Bunk bed, shared room.
Yeah, open doors, shared room, you know, community, everything. And yeah.
It's great. You meet a lot of people traveling that way, though.
You do.
I think.
You do. Needless to say, I think midway through the night, we left that place and we actually booked into a more expensive hotel. But I would love to see greater Argentina, you know. I don't think any big city is a complete representation of an entire country, especially a major city. I think that is a lot of the dynamic that you find in a major city. Although it has a distinct flair and something that is distinctly that city, there are also many resources which beg the same as any other international city. So, you know, the countryside.
I like to go to the countryside. So you get the hot springs in the countryside, which you can find in Chile and also in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to always find a hot spring wherever I go. It's relaxing. It's a good time to be had. So, and I tend to camp while I travel as well. So I do not stay at hostels unless I'm in the city. If I am traveling, I usually have a backpack and a tent with me.
Really?
Always adds to the adventure.
Okay. So. Now, you were about 19. Did you go to any clubs? Did you do the club scene down in Latin America? Did you have any great nights of wine or some beer with the German influence? I mean, I know in Uruguay they have tremendously great breweries. I got to attend one such and got to have some, I don't know, I mean, some of that, especially in the hot summer sun down there in January. When I went twice, just being on the beach or just going around the towns or just staying at someone's house, man, they had some killer pilsners and they just had some killer beer.
Yeah.
Chile?
I do not remember the beer being very significant. I enjoyed the wine and I also liked the pisco that they have down there. So I was a big fan of pisco sours and the wines.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now, after this, I guess that wraps up our Chilean story at the moment.
Okay.
And we are going to take a music break, and we are going to listen to a song that was inspired by Chile and the dictatorship, actually. So this is "You Two, Mothers of the Disappeared," and we will return. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acre. Pledge Drive is on. And here we are listening to Mothers of the Disappeared with Danae. We will be back. Okay. We have returned after hearing that musical break from U2, Mothers of the Disappeared, inspired by the events that took place during the Pinochet dictatorship in Chile. As we were speaking of Chile, and that was a dark, dark period, about 73 through 1990, where the Pinochet dictatorship selectively took away many Chilean citizens, and they ultimately became known, those people who were taken away and never to be discovered again, really, as the disappeared. And U2 had made that song inspired by them, Mothers of the Disappeared. So, Chile, however, now, 25 years later, and 10 years ago, as Danae had gone there, our guest, is quite the different place, and it's quite traveled and quite sought after, and just a great, great country to go to, from top to bottom. Very long stretch.
There's like a lot of land to cover, and easy to cover it. It's not expensive, and it has a... It's very safe, so anyone that is wanting to travel alone, that's a place to go.
Yeah, and the airline that I flew down on my second trip to South America was LAN, which is a very good airline.
Very good.
Yeah, Linnaeus, what's it stand for? Aires, something.
No, it was national. 10 years ago.
I don't know what the acronym is, but anyway, that was had some great food on LAN, and yeah, that was great service.
Yeah, and there's a Dunkin' Donuts in the Santiago airport, so I felt right at home.
Okay,
to the Boston.
Very good. Yeah, yeah. You went to school in Boston, and I think Massachusetts has the most Dunkin' Donuts out of any state in the U.S.
So,
so that's good. I mean, when you go to a country, sometimes you want just a little piece of familiarity to yourself, so you're not completely brought into a tailspin of difference.
I think a dozen donuts was about $25, so down there.
Chilean dollars.
No, 25 U.S.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They have pesos.
Whoa. In demand.
So, yes.
Okay. Well, you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. We are having our biannual pledge drive to support this station. We depend on two pledge drives each year, and whatever you can donate, if you regularly listen to WGXC programs, this show, Now Boarding, if you're a first-time listener and you really want to get involved and you like to hear these programs, this special station, please donate if you can. And two ways to do that, you can do it by phone at 518-697-7400, or you can go online to wgxc.org/donate and whatever you can contribute. We appreciate that very much. And Now Boarding has been on the air for about 18 months, and it's been filled with great times and some moments of excitement, some moments of stimulation, some moments of craziness provided much by my co-host, who is... He's been calling here and there this hour. From
life-changing for Jimmy.
And life-changing from Jimmy, who is my co-host, and he's in Singapore. So, yeah, it's his way of returning. And it's a really special and unique way of returning home.
Yes.
And then hearing his take on his time abroad and just making it one complete subject to the travel. So... That's great. However, we are returning to this hour's program, of which we are hearing from our guest, Danae, who we've covered ground well to the south of us in Chile, and we are going to now hear about her travels westward, especially in our own country, and I would love to hear about that, notably what is it, Danae? Colorado?
So next was Alaska. I took my summers during college to, I eventually did go to college.
Okay.
To travel and work at the same time. So I went on coolworks.com.
Okay.
And found there's national park jobs, there's lodge jobs, there's lots of outdoor adventurous jobs on that website, and I found one in Lake Clark National Park,
okay,
up in Alaska. Uh-huh. And I called up. I got a job being a housekeeper at a lodge in Alaska. This is all I know.
This was around your sophomore going into junior, or was it your freshman going into sophomore?
Sophomore into junior.
Okay.
Year. So I was 21.
Uh-huh.
And I had them fly me up to Alaska, and I flew into Anchorage.
Okay.
And then from there, I spent the night in a hotel and got on a bush plane.
Wow.
And then flew about an hour and a half south to a beach.
Okay.
That we landed on right there at the lodge.
Hmm.
And there was a four-wheeler waiting for us with a trailer to pick up our luggage. And I was there for a good 2.5 months.
So that whole schedule of events was purely what you had imagined, or what I would imagine an Alaskan trip should be.
Yeah.
You're getting there and it's completely outdoors oriented.
Yes. So people, for a half day visit, it is $700 to visit this lodge. And the only way...
For a half-day visit?
For a half-day visit.
What if you do a night?
It is close to 2,000. So I was able to live in a location that was beautiful and pristine, and I got paid for it.
Do some people spend a few days to a week?
Many people would spend 5 days there.
And it would be a package after the $2,000 a night, maybe $8,000 or
yes,
something like that.
Yeah, I believe
so. Wow.
But they came from all over the world and they enjoyed themselves. They got to see what they came to see, which were the brown bears. And we got to go fishing, which I learned to go fly fishing for the salmon.
The salmon must have been delicious.
We had salmon every day.
Wow.
And it was fresh.
This was an amazing opportunity.
It was.
Here you are living out a dream to go to Alaska, and the opportunity allows you to experience what other people would experience for $2,000 a night.
Exactly.
Across what, about 8 weeks?
Yeah, it was about 8 weeks, and it never was dark because it was during the summer, so the sun never fully set.
Wow.
And you work your butt off, though, if you go to Alaska to work. Mm-hmm. I had two friends that were working at a fishery.
Okay.
That we originally had planned to go all together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I landed this job and decided that it would be better to cook and clean than work at a fishery. But I know a lot of people do the fishery jobs up there as well, and it supports them, and they're able to travel while working there.
Wow. Wow. So. That is, you really took that opportunity. I mean, 8 weeks.
I was very fortunate.
That's $100,000 if someone were to spend that 8 weeks at the lodge that you were at.
Yeah.
And getting behind the scenes activities, not only what they would experience.
So I was one of the few girls there, so I was given a lot of attention to go out on trips. The guests would want me to accompany them out into the countryside, and then also fishing, deep sea fishing. So we went halibut fishing and, as I said, fishing for salmon. I believe Jimmy is calling you.
Okay, right. we are going to interrupt this great conversation with a call in live from Singapore right now. Here is Jimmy. So, if he can communicate, well, Jimmy's, he didn't come through, actually. So, Anyway, let's return to our conversation. Jimmy.
Now, is he backstage? I know he is at a concert.
Yeah, he is at a concert, but we'll see if he calls back. Okay. Anyway, returning to our conversation, it's probably...
the opposite of what Jimmy is doing.
Right. It's a more productive conversation that we're having anyway.
Oh, I'm sure Jimmy has plenty to say.
Yeah, he will. But now, the lodge, it was what you would imagine an Alaskan lodge should be, with rustic beams and all sorts of timber.
It was settled
big, great fireplaces
in 1950 by Joe Munger.
Okay.
He and his brother went to Lake Clark National Park and camped out for 2 years, and then he ended up building a cabin. And it had bars on the windows, and it was exactly what you would think of as the Alaskan cabin out in the wilderness. And they did build onto the cabin, obviously, to make it into a lodge and house probably 10 people at a time. But we would fly out for the groceries every 2 weeks, and I would have to put an order in of what I wanted them to bring back for me, which was usually a 24-pack of beer and some chocolate. But other than that, we were fed very well.
Okay. So. Very nice. Now, did you have any run-ins with any, you say, brown bears?
Yeah. They're...
Okay.
So you were surrounded by brown bears and moose, but I actually did not see a moose all summer long until I was flying out at the end of August. But brown bears, so we had a garden, and we had berries in our garden, and I would be picking the berries, and quite often look up, and across the row would be a bear. You learn to just... react and not panic, and I had good guides with me. No one carried a gun. We didn't even carry bear spray for the most part, because the bears that were there would come every year, would return every year, and so you knew their personality, you knew how close you could approach and all.
Really?
So it was actually, I didn't feel threatened, but there was an attack. I heard friends that still live up in Alaska told me there was an attack this summer on a guest. So it can happen. So you just have to be aware.
So they have their own personalities. I mean, each bear has its, I suppose, as a dog would. Some dogs are more friendlier. They get more moody than other dogs, and more of them are ferocious than others or aggressive.
Yep.
The same with these.
Yeah, it was surprising, too, at the season. So when you got there, they were coming out of their winter hibernation, and they were hungry, and you weren't able to get as close to them, and they would run, usually, if they saw you. But at the end of the summer, they were just fishing for salmon every evening, so we would go out and just sit in the inlet and watch them. Dozen bears running around chasing the salmon up the river, and they had no concern over us because they were just focused on getting the food for the winter and feeding their cubs that they had in the spring.
Now, was there any moment of a feeling that you were surrounded by environmentally in the landscape of just pure magnificence? Did you get that feeling ever when you were in Alaska, or was that reoccurring?
It became reoccurring, and I didn't appreciate it, but it was great having the guests in and out of the lodge because you got a new, fresh vision every time someone would come to the lodge every day. So, but the water was the freshest I've ever had, other than in Colorado, and you could see a snow-capped mountain the whole summer out of the kitchen window. So
amazing.
It was beautiful.
So once again, you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, and we currently have our fall pledge drive, and these pledge drives are where we are enabled at this station to continue these programs, all the programs that you hear on WGXC 90.7. It's made possible through these two fund drives. So if you are listening and you have the ability to donate to continue these programs, please call in or go online. You can call in to our number at 518-697-7400, or you can go online to wgxc.org/donate, make a contribution, and that would be very much appreciated by all of the voices here. So please, 518-697-7400, or go to wgxc.org/donate and make a pledge. And we are now boarding the travel show, currently hearing from our special guest, Danae. We have heard her travels in Chile and Alaska, and as we wrap up this program, we are going to hear about a little Colorado.
Sure.
And we're going to take a little music break right now. So, hope you enjoy this song. Get a little America here.
Sometimes we're at war again, save the world again. You can all join in, but you can't smoke inside. You said, take me home, I can't stand this place, cause there's too many hipsters and I just can't relate. You're my neon gypsy, my desert rain, you're my helter skelter, or how can I explain that you're the best I ever had, and I'm trying not to get. But I've read that soda kills you, Jesus saves on the bathroom wall where I saw you naked. You're the best I ever had. I won't be the same. Night sky full of drones, this neighborhood of clones. I'm looking at the crowd, they're staring at phones. They groom the coastline here, it's starting to disappear, and maybe once a year, I think I clean my car, I cut my reflection, I drive the car, I've been medicated with cigarettes and alcohol, I got vertigo, no, I can't see straight, I got obligations, so I'm usually North Dakota, I think I love you, but don't even know ya. Hey Massachusetts, hey Minnesota, I think I love you, but don't even know ya. Hey Carolina, hey Oklahoma, I think I love you, but don't even know ya. Hey Alabama, hey California, I think I love you, but don't even. Master.
You are hearing WGXC 90.7 FM Acra. We are broadcasting live from the Hudson Studio. This is Now Boarding the Travel Show with Jim and Dan. Jimmy has been trying to call in during this hour, but it has been hasn't been able to do it.
Hanging up on him for some reason. I think that might be the cause.
Possibly. I don't know. I think it's just by fate. I suppose that we're supposed to hear your voice, Danae, more so than Jimmy's, and have a, you know, a fresher conversation today, albeit that Jimmy's coming out of a concert right now in Singapore, J-Lo concert of all people. And
Sunday evening.
Sunday evening there. They're about 12 hours ahead of us in Singapore, 13,000 miles away. And he just went to see a Formula One race and was followed by this Jennifer Lopez concert. And I don't know. I guess just not meant to be. But that's all right, because we've been very much entertained by your travels, Chile, Alaska, and now with the remainder of the hour, I think you want to talk about another place, huh?
To Colorado.
Okay.
So next summer, I then got a job at a rafting company in Buena Vista, Colorado.
Now, the locals pronounce it differently, right?
They call it Buena Vista, or we like to call it BV.
BV, okay. We like to call it, so
I feel like I'm a local to the town.
Okay.
From the 2 months I lived there.
Okay. Well, but very good for you.
Yes, yes. It is a small Colorado town, about 2.5 hours west of Denver and about an hour and a half west of northwest of Colorado Springs, and it is known for its rafting.
Okay, and it's right on the Arkansas River, right?
Correct.
Okay.
And that's just a beautiful part of the country. You can go down to New Mexico, or they have the 14ers out there. So I climbed a 14,000-foot mountain while out there. I didn't climb all that I wanted to, but it is quite difficult to breathe out there at 8,000 feet and going up to 14.
So the town Buena Vista is at 8,000 feet already.
Yes.
And it's surrounded. It's
in a plain, so it is surrounded by, I believe you can see close to 14ers just from that valley.
Wow.
So, that was a very adventurous summer. In Colorado, there are river rats. So there are people that range from late teens to early 60s that literally guide whitewater rafting in the summer and then do ski guide in the winter. And I was in a very dirty community of these river rats in Little Cambodia was their site. It was right by the Arkansas River.
Okay.
And we called it
Little Cambodia.
We called it Cambo.
Okay.
And,
easy enough.
It was all the guides that worked for the company lived and camped out in yurts or tents or just in the backs of their trucks.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite the community, quite the summer.
So during the winter months, Buena Vista isn't as populated as during the spring and summer months when the river is running and the rafting season is on hand.
It's definitely more lively in the summer, but they do get the skiers in the winter.
Okay.
But the passes are all closed come October, so it is harder to access the town.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, in Buena Vista, there is also a brewery that you had been, that you frequented as well. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's a very small town, but they have a distillery, a brewery, and they have a music festival, actually, in the small town. So they entertain themselves, and it's very good beer. There's the green chilies down there are in everything that they cook or brew. So I like their green chili and their red chili porter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is the name of the brewery? They've won quite a number of awards, right?
Eddie Line.
Eddie Line Brewery. Okay.
So they also have a pizza restaurant that is very good to complement their beers.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they're expanding and they're making a name for themselves. So
hopefully
they'll be in New York soon.
And the same sister that you visited in Chile is the sister who lives in Buena Vista.
So I'm fortunate that my sister lives in beautiful places. So I, when I travel out there, I usually have free housing and free food.
Okay.
So, yes.
Well, that's pretty good.
Very good.
You were out there this past winter for a couple weeks.
I was. My sister now has 4 children, and the youngest is 5, and he is a better skier than most people that consider themselves skiers. My 13-year-old nephew started snowboarding this year, so they take me on the blacks. And the only time I ever ski is when I go out there. So
wow.
It is quite the adventure to go. And you actually have been to Colorado.
Yes, I have actually been to the place that we're speaking of in Buena Vista. And I am not a very good skier whatsoever. Not even on cross-country skis.
You refused to go downhill skiing, so I forced you to go cross-country skiing.
Oh.
Which
oh,
is
I
much
was with
more
you, wasn't
physical.
I? Okay, I was with you.
Yes.
No,
you might. You were ahead
like
of
I
me skiing
amnesia.
Up that hill, so maybe you didn't know it was me, you know?
Well, now that we say it, yes. We actually went to a yurt together where we had a 5-course meal, and it was at night. We were at a ski resort above a place called Leadville.
Yep. Copper Mountain.
Copper Mountain was the actual resort.
Yeah.
And that's where we had cross-country skied up this trail about 2 miles in the woods.
And the moon, so we would go rafting by the full moon, and then in the winter you go skiing.
By the full moon.
That's quite the place.
And Leadville itself, all the way from Buena Vista, it's about 2,500 foot increase in elevation. And Leadville is, I believe, the continental U.S.'s highest town.
Yes.
Yeah, right in the Rockies. So that was neat.
Good.
And that was a terrific dinner. We had elk steak.
Yeah.
And great potatoes and asparagus, and I believe.
Yeah. Yeah,
and great bottle of wine. And so I beat Danae up the hill, and she completely destroyed me going down the hill. I developed this technique. I didn't think I was going to make it out without falling right by a tree or because of a tree.
Yes.
But I did. And
we made it out alive.
That was a great time. Anyway. Yeah. We're wrapping this hour up, and you have been listening to our special guest, Danae. A great conversation today on Now Boarding the Travel Show. And thank you for all of you who have listened. And please, as we are going through our biannual pledge drive, this is I Love WGXC Radio Love Pledge Drive. Go on to WGXC.org/donate, make a contribution. Also, you can call in at 518-697-7400. And this is wrapping up our hour for Now Boarding the Radio Show with Jim and Dan. And we're going to make a transition here momentarily, but it was Danae.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to have you again if you would like to come on. You were a very fluid voice and full of
adventure. Let's wait another year and a half. We'll see about it.
Another year and a half. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe she will make a generous contribution and just be forced on once again to this hour. Or maybe not. But, hey, maybe next time we can speak about Vermont or speak about where else you went on Across
New
Country.
York, California.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So we are signing off. And please, as we are having our pledge drive, go to WGXC.org/donate. Make a contribution or call into the station here in Hudson, 518-697-7400. Any dollar amount counts. Thank you very much.